good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for July 20th, 2014. I kind of suffered because I realized that last week, July 13th, I thought was the 20th. I was a week off, and I don't know if that's age-related or not, but sometimes those things happen. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. Well, when I was changing, we have a Dial the Dharma service where we, it's computerized, call in to a certain number and hear a short 1 to 2 minute message, and these are changed daily. We have a library of over 400 talks and between my father, Reverend Gyomi Kubose, and myself. And these were done maybe over 20 years ago, and we have sort of a library of these. They were originally done on cassette tapes, and we used the answering machine. And now, it's, as I said, it's all computerized in MP3 files. We use a service, and we still have to change, make the selections for daily tapes every morning. So this morning I was putting on the today's message for Dial the Dharma, and it was titled Traveling on Route 41. And I remember being this message some years ago when we lived in the Chicago area. And I think it has to do with the fact that construction causes detours when you're driving. And I made the metaphor to traveling on one's spiritual journey or path. And that many times the road becomes under construction and it doesn't go as you might have planned, and you have to take a detour. Your growth, your expectations, yeah. But the reason I bring this up is because in the Chicago area, there's a freeway that goes straight north called Eden's Expressway, and it's also Route 41. And I hadn't realized it for quite some time after we moved to our present place in Central California. The main highway that goes north from Fresno up to Yosemite National Park. We're about, half an hour north of Fresno, just off Highway 41. And as I said, I didn't realize that it was the same number, 41. Eden's Highway is a major road that we take all the time in the Midwest there, Chicago area. And we travel on Highway 41 quite a bit, going from our place into Fresno. Context, geographical differences. I didn't realize that it's the same Route 41. Coincidence like this, I don't know what to make of it, but the universe is telling me something. I'll figure it out one of these days. I also wanted to mention that some local news in our family, my brother Don had his left lung removed a few days ago to remove a tumor. And during the surgery, one of the arteries burst, and he lost a lot of blood. His blood pressure went down, and it was quite a emergency situation, after the surgery, he was kept under sedation, unconscious, and during this revival time, they had to cool his body down, and so they were gradually warming him up after this, after his surgery, and so he did not. They didn't back off the sedation for about a day and a half after the surgery. And they were concerned of whether some possible brain damage might have occurred due to a lack of oxygen. Even though his heart never stopped, it was, you know, so many minutes before they were able to finish the surgery. And now that his left lung is gone, and I didn't realize it, basic physiology or anatomy is that the left lung only has two lobes and the right lung has three lobes. And the left lung only has two because the heart is mainly on the left side and takes up that room. So two lobes, his entire left lung was removed, and now he's going to function with just his right lung, which fortunately has three lobes, so it would be about 60-something percent of normal functioning capacity. And the morning that we visited, when he regained consciousness, we were so glad, great relief to find that he had complete motor and mental functioning. So it looks like he really came through with flying colors. And, of course, he's still drowsy and foggy, but I knew he was doing okay when to him, and he said in a whisper, "I sure would like some cold sake," which we share on every week when I go visit him. We always share some cold sake in the summertime. But one of the visiting relatives, cousin who had a medical background, was mentioning that Don is going to have to learn how to breathe properly so that body could get enough oxygen. Normally, we do very shallow breathing, and it's much better to, the natural way the body wants us to breathe is what might be called diaphragmic breathing, where the diaphragm goes up and down. You know, the diaphragm is a muscle between the belly and the upper chest area. And when you watch a baby breathe, when they're sleeping, say, and you see their abdomen going in and out, sometimes this is called belly breathing. Sometimes we think that, take a deep breath, we raise our shoulders up, and the abdomen should bulge out. And this is the diaphragm coming down, pushing it. And then the diaphragm moves up, and the belly goes in. And if you put your hand on your belly, and you breathe, do this diaphragmic breathing, you can see your hand moving outward as your belly goes out when you inhale. And this is a very natural breathing that sometimes we have to relearn. So she was describing this, and of course with my little pot belly here, beer belly, but it's from too much snacking. I was thinking that I have a built-in advantage here doing belly breathing. But one of the first basic spiritual tools that we teach our students in our lay ministry program in the practicum, and we use this every session where we say, take a centering breath, breathing, and this kind of belly breathing really centers you and could be a good tool in our spiritual tool bag. Okay? And it has to be a habit. So I'm going to, this was a good association in terms of to do healthy breathing and also healthy in the spiritual sense as well as the physiological sense. Okay, and it's a good spiritual tool because we always have it with us. You know, we never forget to breathe, but mindful breathing really brings us into this present moment. And we could piggyback a lot of other spiritual tools onto mindful breathing, taking a mindful breath. Indeed, indeed. Well, I'd like to introduce today's guest to give us a Dharma glimpse. Her name is Tamu Hoyo. Hoyo is her Dharma name. Ho means to perfume. And, of course, the yo is dawn, the sun. So Hoyo means the perfuming, where there was a particular reason for this perfuming meaning given to her name. But perfuming in the Buddhist sense means karmic influence. You know how something that has a perfume odor, it spreads out or it permeates clothes. This is the influence, the karmic influence of a person's actions, even indirectly spread around. And in any case, she was part of our LM5 group. We're on LM7 now. So several years ago, she completed the program. And at that time, she had a newborn. And so it was really neat to hear the newborn's sound sometimes when she had the baby with her during this, the group conference session. And she was sort of sometimes apologetic about the background noise, but all of us like to hear the newborn sounds. That shows, gives it the reality to our sessions, reality of life. She lives in Pennsylvania. I'd like to introduce Tamu Hoyo for today's Dharma Glimpse.
Thank you for allowing me to share this Dharma Glimpse with you. As I was trying to come up with a name for this Dharma Glimpse, there were many titles that came to mind. Fractured Dharma was one of them. But I decided to settle on two-year-old Dharma, and I'll tell you why. About 3.5 weeks ago, I fractured my left foot after picking greens out of my garden to bring inside of my house to enjoy with some hummus and some chips that I was having. I was about to enjoy a nice, quiet evening alone with no children involved, no teenagers, just me and maybe some Star Trek. Well, that anticipation was short-lived because as I was walking up into my apartment, I stepped down with my right foot and overshot with my left foot, thus leaving me to plummet forward and then to the left, and then I slid across my shoe and crack. I heard the loudest crack, and I actually assumed that I broke one of my youngest son's toys, but when I looked down, I noticed that there were no toys to be found underneath my feet, nothing but the concrete steps. And I looked at my left foot, and I saw a little scratch, just a little scratch on the top of my foot. So I looked at it, and I was like, wow, what was that? I knew something really terrible had happened, but at that point in time, I really wasn't sure what it was. Well, fast forward about 10 hours later, I leave the emergency room, and I was diagnosed with having a Jones fracture. And the next day, I had an appointment with the surgeon, for orthopedic surgeon, and I was told that I needed to either get a boot or be in a cast, and I needed to stay off of the foot and thus be immobilized. Well, my boot arrived in the mail after I, you know, suffered through a little bit of pain over the weekend, keeping my foot elevated. I was unable to do anything for myself that I normally would do. something simple as getting water or making lunch for myself became unbearable because I was unable to stand. The moment I stood up, even though I wasn't putting weight on my left foot, all of the blood sort of rushed into that foot and it would swell up, leaving me pretty much helpless for not quite a week and having to ask my older sons to help me with anything that I needed, even the simplest things, even something as simple as going to the bathroom by myself became very tedious, having to hop up the steps or slide down the steps because I simply could not put any weight on my foot. Well, I never thought of myself as being a person who took my feet for granted. I'm a reflexologist, after all. I discuss with my clients the importance of their feet and how their feet, you know, pretty much carries their entire weight throughout their body. You know, my motto as a body work therapist, as a reflexologist, is love your feet and your body will love you. Well, suddenly my mobility was taken away from me. I had to rely on other people. And on top of that, I needed to rest, recline, and ice my foot. I have to admit, I wasn't the best of patients. I did complain a lot. It was hard. I bemoaned the fact that I could no longer get up and walk whenever I wanted to, couldn't, you know, do anything, go to the door, check the mail. Everything was a struggle. I had to hop around in the crutches. The crutches made my shoulders hurt, my back hurt. I did complain quite a bit because for me, it was short of shocking. One moment, I'm fine, I'm walking, I'm helping other people, I'm doing all of these different things, moving about whenever I want. If I need to get up for water, I can get up for it. If I needed to make a sandwich, I could do that. Then all of a sudden, I was at the mercy of other people. I was not having it. I was not happy. I was miserable and just cranky and could not wait until it was over. Well, I have to say that my perspective shifted a bit when about two weeks later, I happened to go to the, I went to the farmer's market with my son, and I took him along to help me carry some things that I needed. And as I was going into the farmer's market, I noticed a couple of people who were walking with limps and using walkers, and it was quite obvious that their slight immobility was more permanent than mine. Mine was just temporary. I needed maybe 4 to maybe 6 weeks tops to heal from this. And when I saw these people who obviously had these limps and these challenges in their walks that they have to deal with for the rest of their lives, I realized, you know what? I'm not going to complain about it. But I have to say it was still hard for me to allow my body to heal because I was still feeling sorry about myself, for myself, and I was still exhausted. And even though I wasn't verbalizing my disappointment and fracturing my foot, I wasn't in the right mindset. Well, one of the things that I did allow myself to continue to do, even though my foot was fractured, I continued to facilitate the meditation sangha that I had started several months ago. And this past Saturday, when we had our meditation, one of our sangha members started to tell me the story about his 2-year-old son who broke his leg when they were on vacation. The son is now almost 4, but this happened almost 2 years ago. And when he brought this up, I thought, oh, yes, I remember when he broke his leg. So the father told me the story of how they told their son, you have a cast on your leg because you broke your leg. You can't walk anymore. You have to crawl. Well, the son wasn't very happy about that, but about 2 days later, he comes to his father in his sweet little 2-year-old language and says, I know, I broke my leg. I can't walk anymore. I will crawl. When he related this story to me, it was as if a light bulb went on in my mind, and it reminded me of the teachings of the Buddha, that we suffer. We suffer because we're dissatisfied. We suffer because we want life to be other than what it is. Now, if there's things in your life that you can actually change, well, then there's no reason to suffer. Go ahead and change them. But if there are things in your life that you cannot change, such as my fractured foot, you know, not being able to see clients as I would like to, not being able to cook a meal, stand up on my feet for prolonged periods of time, I couldn't change that. It was temporary. I couldn't change it. And I needed to realize that. Well, once I heard the story of the 2-year-old who came to terms with the fact that he needed to crawl instead of walk, and then he let his daddy know that he was okay with that, I realized as well that, you know what, I can do the same. And it was very interesting. Well, number one, the father did say that he had realized that he needed to explain to his son that it was only temporary that he couldn't walk, that he will be okay. It's just until the cast came off. So hearing this, it really struck a chord in me, and it reminded me that my fractured foot was not making me suffer. It was my inability to accept the temporary assignment that I had of a fractured foot, of being temporary immobile. You know, maybe there were lessons that I needed to learn in that. And also, my attitude of not being happy, of being miserable, of feeling depressed, feeling sorry for myself, it was actually impeding me from healing, because all of my energy was going into, woe is me, this really is no fun, this sucks, I can't do this, I can't do that. Once I got that message from that 2-year-old, that I needed to just accept what was going on, I was able to then focus on ice pack every half hour or so, rubbing arnica gel on my foot, keeping my foot elevated, staying put, not trying to do what I used to do and what I could not temporarily do. So then after that, I spent the next couple of days really nursing my foot, taking care of my foot, taking care of myself, keeping a more positive attitude, and actually my foot finally began to heal. So there is my Dharma glimpse. And from that I learned, and I share with you, you know, everything is temporary, whatever situation we're going through. Yes, there's some things that are a little less temporary than others, but life itself is temporary. And it's far too short, or even far too long, to moan and groan about things that we cannot change. Either we accept the moment that we're in, and we work with what we have, and we're able to grow from that, or we can complain and moan and groan, make life miserable for ourselves, for those around us. We suffer. We make other people suffer. We have a choice. And with that, I thank you very much for allowing me to share this Dharma glimpse with you. And in the end, I say, keep going. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, indeed. In the spiritual world, misfortune is often fortune. You know, different context. There are bodhisattvas in disguise all over 2-year-old Dharma, fractured Dharma, or the broken foot Buddha came to for a short visit. Of course, we want the visit to be short, and it's going to be as long as it's necessary to heal up. This is one of the greatest attitude adjustments of, you know, strong spiritual acceptance that frees us up to focus on what we can constructively do to handle the situation. Okay? Of course, we wish that the difficulty, traumatic event did not happen in the first place, but the fact that it has happened, can we fully become one with it and therefore most effectively deal with it? Still struggles, still difficulties, yes. But this is a very pragmatic, tremendous attitude that is so simple and so elemental, but so difficult. It's almost like it's our eyelashes. We can't see our own eyelashes because they're so close, you know, to our eye, to our eyes. Also somehow emotionally difficult because of the physical pain that's involved in some of these difficulties, is that what it does is, what physical pain does is it telescopes our vision, our perception. Okay? And it's difficult to have the wider teaching. Well, to hear this kind of in-life example really makes for deeper impact of these teachings that are not something completely new to us, but enables us to hopefully implement them ourselves. That's all for today's broadcast. Until next time, indeed, keep going, and you have a very beautiful day. Thank you.